When I reached the Gulf during the BP oil spill, I realized that the spill was a horror fully as bad as I expected. The International Bird Rescue Research Center was selected to do the rehab work, and I got to see their excellent work at the Theodore Oiled Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Mobile, Alabama. They did a great job of treating the oiled wildlife they were brought, but they were prohibited from actually collecting oiled birds themselves. Absolutely no professional rehabbers trained in recovering oiled birds were sent to the Gulf or allowed to go there on their own to recover wildlife. Several licensed professional wildlife rehabbers with specific training and experience in retrieving and rehabbing oiled birds told me that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had told them they'd lose their rehab license if they went to the Gulf. I saw quite a few oiled birds, including one drenched black-crowned night heron standing on an oiled boom near the shore of Cat Island when I was on a boat trip there. Our boat captain agreed to approach the boom to try to net the heron to bring for rehab, and we'd have succeeded, except that as the boat got nearer, the poor bird opened its wings. It was too badly oiled to take off, dropping into the shallow water and awkwardly waddling and thrashing to shore, but the fact that it had opened its wings at all meant that it was, quote, flighted by BP's definition. The captain told us he could lose his license if he tried to capture a flighted bird. Why were the rules so ridiculously and cruelly stringent? I couldn't wrap my head around it until I realized that the only birds being included on the official count, which would determine BP's liability, were ones that were physically retrieved, dead or alive. And this rule about flighted birds lowered the numbers even more. In previous oil spills, the count of oiled birds always included field observations by qualified birders, biologists, and other knowledgeable people. BP managed to sneak these rule changes in under the radar of almost everyone. This drenched and doomed heron did not meet the new criteria for oiled wildlife and would never be counted. The September-October 2010 issue of Audubon came out a few weeks after I returned home while oil was still spewing with the cover story about the spill. The article seemed to be about an entirely different oil spill than the one I had just seen and smelled. The article attacked Drew Whelan by name so strongly, unfairly and personally that I quit the organization. That's also when I renewed my lapsed membership in the American Birding Association. The article promoted BP's absurdly false claim that this oil was unique. Quote, Deepwater Horizon oil is different. It is highly volatile and nearly half evaporates immediately. In the intense heat, bacteria consume other fractions. Also, the leak is almost 50 miles at sea, giving dispersion and natural breakdown processes more time to kick in, end quote. The surface water in the Gulf, especially near shore, is indeed quite warm, but temperatures at the depths of the well are much colder than at the surface, and I personally saw plenty of oil that had reached shore. The article also claimed that the low-tech booms encircling many of the islands were protecting them from oil. Quote, much has been learned about boom laying and skimming, and operations are massive and intense, end quote. But much of that boom had not been anchored in place and washed ashore with the oil. Drew Whelan tried to drum up public concern about the oiled nesting colonies, but the environmental organizations that were getting photographs of them stayed distressingly quiet about it at the time. One Cornell staffer commented on my blog post about the Audubon cover story, "I respect Drew Whelan's commitment to write about this disaster, but he has mainly served as a voice of outrage rather than as a source of information." This seemed ironic because Cornell was one of the organizations sitting on photos, videos, and other information that could have confirmed everything Drew was saying. Information was hard to come by after virtually all of the oiled islands and much of the coast were closed off, ostensibly for public safety. Next time, I'll talk about weighing pragmatism versus complicity. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.